Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. The book of Revelation is one of the most misunderstood books of the Bible. It uses a lot of imagery and it uses a lot of symbolism that's always kind of pointing to different parts of the scripture. And so if you really want to understand Revelation, you need to start with the first 65 books of the Bible. And once you have a good grasp on those 65, then you can move on to Revelation. Another important thing you can do if you really want to know Revelation is you have to remember why the scriptures are written. Genesis to Revelation, there is one message of scripture. These are the words of eternal life that point to Jesus as God and Savior. If you ever lose sight of that, you will misunderstand Revelation. You will misunderstand the entirety of the scriptures. In fact, that was the big problem with the Jews. They didn't get it. But with that being said, right, remembering that Revelation is a book that always points us to the other books, and that Jesus is the heart and soul of the scriptures, we can dive into Revelation 12. Now war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. Now, I don't know what kind of picture goes through your mind when you think about these words, but I got this picture of all of these angels. They're all holding these flaming swords, and they're like dive bombing and swooping and slashing at each other. And that's the wrong picture. We all know how wars are fought in our world, right? In our physical world, there are swords and arrows and guns and bombs, etc., etc., etc. And it's because things of our world, all of our wars are fought over physical things, either resources or land or something like that, right? And they're fought with bodies, right? People, manpower. But in heaven, there are only like three bodies: Enoch, Elijah, and Jesus. At least according to scripture, those are the only three who have ever gone into heaven without having to die. Well, I guess Jesus dying and coming back. But that means that wars in heaven are not going to be fought the same way that wars on earth are fought. If heaven is a celestial kingdom, a spiritual kingdom, it means that the war has to be a spiritual one. It means it's a war of words. And the battle lines have been drawn. On the one hand, you have Michael. Michael literally means, the name Michael, who is like God? It's a question. Who is like God? And because of this, some people say that Michael isn't a created being at all. He's not an angel. He's not a created angel as we commonly envision angels. Instead, Michael is Christ. Because who is like God? Jesus. In fact, he's not just like God, he is God. John's gospel tells us that Jesus is the Word of God that is wrapped in flesh and blood for the sake of humanity. But whether you're into this opinion that Michael is Christ or not, maybe you just think he is a created being, it doesn't matter. What matters is that Michael leads these angels into victory. Angels, right? They're the ones being led, right? Michael on one side, we'll talk about the dragon in a minute. But angel, the word angel literally means messenger. And if you search throughout the scripture, the angels are always sent to do the same thing: to bring God's message. Messages of condemnation, messages of promise, messages of salvation. But these angels, they receive a message from God and then they deliver it to God's people. And most commonly, it's a message of promise, like in Jesus' birth narrative. We get this whole thing where you know, blessed are those who hear this message. But on the other side, we have Satan. And Satan does not bring the message of God. Satan brings lies. And in fact, in our text, he's called the dragon. He's called the ancient serpent, the deceiver, Satan, the devil. And some of these names might bring to mind another incident with the devil, where an ancient serpent came to deceive humanity with Adam and Eve. And honestly, Satan's kind of a one-trick pony. He's only got one trick. It's the same question he asked Adam and Eve. Did God actually say? Did God actually say you couldn't eat the fruit? Did God actually say your sins are forgiven? Did God actually say that Jesus is the Savior of the world? Did God actually say sin is a big deal? Did God actually say that he is a God of wrath? What does God actually say and what does he not actually say? And the devil's whole job, his entire thing, is to take what God actually says and very sneakily, in very, very scheming ways, he slowly replaces the truth with a lie. And he tries to do it without us knowing it. And so on the one side, we got Michael, and he's always in this business of delivering God's word to us, especially that word of promise. And Satan, on the other side, is trying to bring doubt and confusion onto God's word, onto God's promise. That's the battle line. Now, the angels, they're all in this sort of courtroom scene. I'd imagine, because, it's a war of words. And on the one side, you have Satan, who is standing before God, accusing God's people. And probably the biggest example of this is Job, right? Because Satan comes to God and goes, you know, your servant Job, who you love so much, you know, he's only faithful because he has great blessings. He's only faithful because you've given him wealth and children and all of these wonderful things in this life. If you take it all away, he'll curse you. All right, go for it. Afflict my servant Job and let's see what happens. And so Satan does. But see, you notice what Satan does here. Well, he's only faithful because. That's an accusation. And we know throughout the story that Job, while he does sin in the book, at the end he is led to repentance and forgiveness, and God restores to him everything he lost. But this is what Satan does. He accuses. He deceives. He tries to bring doubt. And so as this legal battle is fought, Satan is defeated. Some evidence comes forward, and it's blood. The blood of the Lamb. Our text continues. Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb. And by the word of their testimony. For they loved not their lives, even unto death. The blood that comes into the courtroom is the blood of Christ, the blood of the Lamb. And what does that blood speak? These people are innocent. The blood of baptism, the blood received in the supper, the blood that is testified to you Sunday in and Sunday out about a Savior who dies and sheds that blood for you. It conquers Satan. Now, if Satan were to even be in heaven, there's already this undeniable evidence that you are innocent because of this blood. And so what happens to Satan? He gets the boot. He gets kicked out. He doesn't even have a place to accuse us before God any longer. We just sang it too, right? A mighty fortress. How many words can fell Satan? One little word. Jesus. His blood that speaks for us is enough to conquer Satan. But here's our problem. Satan can't accuse us before God anymore. He gets kicked out. But where does he get kicked out to? He's come down to the earth. Right, John gives us that final warning. Woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows his time is short. It means we got a target on our backs. Satan, his demons, they are coming after us. One of his biggest deceptions is to convince people that he doesn't exist. Because a lot of people in this scientific, spiritual things, nah. And it means Satan wins. But we need to be careful. Because Satan isn't messing around. He's not pulling his punches, but instead he's coming to tempt you, to bring doubt and confusion onto God's word. And so, you know, you've probably experienced this before. We all have those times in life where we have those sins that are right before our eyes, and we get caught and we go, man, how could God ever forgive someone like me for doing something as awful as this? Why would God ever forgive me? Because I'm struggling with the same sin I've been struggling with for my entire life. Maybe I'm beyond forgiveness. You ever have that feeling? That's Satan. That's Satan trying to lead you to despair, trying to get you to forsake Jesus and thinking that maybe Jesus' forgiveness is too small for the amount of sin that you have. My friends, it's not true. Jesus can forgive any amount of sin, no matter how big, no matter how small, it's all forgiven. Or, consequently, Satan's also very content to deceive us the other way. Where we go, oh, yeah, okay, maybe I did commit that sin, but it was just a small one. It's not that big a deal. You know, or I know God's going to overlook all my sins anyway, so I can do whatever I want. Or maybe that time when we know, and we can even say in our mind, I know I shouldn't do this. But then the temptation overcomes us, and we do it anyway. As if it's not a big deal. My friends, Satan's trying to tempt us to think that sin is not a big deal. He's trying to tempt us into thinking that God doesn't have any wrath for sin. And it's not true. Repent of your sins. Ask Christ for forgiveness, because when you do, the wrath of God falls against your Savior and not against you. But Satan tries to get us to fall off the road in either ditch. He's content with both. The thing he's not content with is repentance and forgiveness and trusting in the blood of Christ. So what do? We look to Michael. Who is like God? Certainly Jesus is. We know that. But you are. You are like God. Humans. You were given the image of God, His holiness, when you were created. And though our sin has destroyed that image, He has brought it back. He has restored it to you through your Savior. You are a saint. You are holy. You are innocent. And there is nothing Satan can accuse you for. Because those same arguments that worked in heaven, the blood of the Lamb, the testimony of His death and resurrection, they work before Satan even now. They work for Satan even as they come out of your own mouth. Who is like God? You are like God because you are forgiven. And so when Satan comes to either try to lead you to despair or to lead you to think that sin is kind of no big deal, tell Satan to go to hell, because that's where he belongs. Tell Satan that he has no power over you and that his accusations mean nothing. Because you're a Christian. My friends, we're all baptized. We've all been given great gifts. But today, let's remember the word that doesn't fail. The word that is Christ. Because that word of Christ is the word that Jesus delivers to you. Through Michael, through his angels, even through the testimony you hear today. When Satan comes to attack, remember those words of a mighty fortress. Because the word of Christ defeats Satan, both now and forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.